Are you ready for Christmas? Five people. That's okay. I'm with you. I'm with you because even yesterday I was still putting up decorations and I'm still not done. We moved, and so I'm not sure where all our decorations are, much less all the extension cords, etc. But you know what? We're still feeling joy this Christmas. We're still feeling the excitement of the season. And I put out something on Facebook. I'm sorry it was late, but I put it out last night asking you guys, what do you find joy in Christmas? And I got several answers, but I just want to, you know, shout out something if you would. What gives you joy? What brings you joy at Christmas time? Family, music, presents. I knew Seth's voice. Decorations, the lights, Christmas cookies. I knew somewhere along the way we had to get to food. We had to get to food. And just a reminder, we have food over here today. So you're invited. This is our Christmas dinner. It's not quite a family setting, but it's as close as we're going to get in this building. So you're invited to join us for lunch for our Christmas dinner today. The birth of Christ. Okay. I had some responses online. One of the ones, Christmas cards, that's something you don't see as much anymore. Now, this is for Arizona, this is one that you almost never hear. Almost never. But when I saw it, I was lit up with joy because they said snow. Where I come from, snow is an integral part of Christmas. If you don't have snow on Christmas, it's just there's missing something, but that's okay. We can drive up into the mountains and experience snow and then come back down here where it's not so cold. And that's amen. I heard a hearty amen there. Well, my family, we love all of it. It all just fits in with the Christmas season. But there's a few things that we really, really enjoy. And I heard somebody say lights, and that's one. Christmas lights is one of our favorites. I think my wife is probably the lead person in loving the lights. And especially ever since we got married, we go out and we see the lights every year, no matter where we live. We drive around, we walk around, we do whatever we can to see Christmas lights. Well, this year we learned about the LDS Visitor Center, I think it is called. And I had no idea it was there. And my apologies to the rest of Mesa, who all knew this and just took it for granted that I knew all this. But we went, and they have this huge, massive light display that just blows my mind, especially when I think about, you know, what the electric bill must be from that. But it was amazing. And it wasn't just lights. They had nativity scenes, and they have the story of Jesus over a loudspeaker and all these things that, you know, the lights are beautiful, but it draws your attention to the true light of the world. And we're going to read about him in John chapter 1, if you would turn your Bibles there with me. John chapter 1, or your electronic devices, if you have them. John chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 6. John is writing his gospel, and he begins in the beginning talking about Jesus, the Word with God. And he talks about this light that shines in the darkness, verse 5. And then it comes to verse 6. And it said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Every time we see Christmas lights, I think of Jesus. I didn't research this, but I think that's where the Christmas light theme began, is because all these lights remind us of the true light who came down into a dark world to bring us light, amen? To shine his light, to shine God's light into our world, a world that was dark, that was speaking of darkness. When Jesus came, when the light of the world came into our world, there had been no word from God, no prophetic word from God for 400 years It doesn't get more dark than that, in my opinion. And here's this world. The scene was painted by the shepherds in the field, watching over their sheep. We see the story in Luke. The shepherds are laying in the field. What time was it? It was nighttime. It was dark. They're watching over their sheep. And the angels all of a sudden shine their bright light from heaven into the field to announce the light of the world coming into ours. The true light who came into the world to give us hope, to give us something to look at, to recognize that our world is not all darkness, that all is not lost, that there is something, that there is someone that we can count on. As you know, I mentioned we just moved here. We used to live up north, and we have some friends here that are up from the northern area too. Just glad to see them here today, and they're going to be able to understand what I'm talking about, because when you drive back from Phoenix and you go up north, the skies get darker and darker and darker as you go, don't they? Now, where they live specifically, there's light in their neighborhood, but I remember taking that drive back home to Cottonwood, and you reach a point, and there's times when I would leave here, I would be really sleepy. And so for me to wake myself up, I would pull over and get out, kind of get some fresh air, walk around, especially if it was cool outside. But I remember this one spot I just happened to pull over at, and I got out and I looked up into the sky, and it was amazing because it was like the stars were right there. It was so dark. It was so beautiful, but it was so beautiful because you could see these little lights. And even though it was dark all around me, I couldn't even see my feet on the ground. I couldn't, if there was a snake there, I'd have been in trouble because I wasn't going to turn on the lights and ruin this vast heavenly display that was before me. And I think of those shepherds laying in their field who saw those lights, and not just little dots in the sky, but right there in their presence to bring them the news of the light who came down into our world to brighten it. Jesus is the true light. We look at Christmas lights in remembrance of him. One of the other things that came up that is my personal favorite is spending time with family. Anybody else likes, I know if you don't have to raise your hand. We won't judge you, but does anybody else like spending time with family at Christmas time? I mean, we may not see each other the rest of the year, but we get together, and I remember going to, when I was a kid, we went to my grandma's house, and it was just the same thing every year, and I knew as soon as I walked in the door, there were Christmas cookies, and I knew those Christmas cookies were expected that I was going to eat them. She had them there, and she would get offended. My grandmother would get offended if I did not eat Christmas cookies, but it was more than that, because the rest of the family, my aunts, my uncles, all these people showed up, people that I didn't even know. And come to find out, there's some long-lost cousin that hasn't been seen by the family for 20 years, but they're there for Christmas. And it just kind of warms my heart, just reconnecting with people that I haven't seen and sharing stories and catching up and being part of this bigger family than what we have in my house. John chapter 1, Jesus also talks about being part of our family. Start in verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Right before this, in John chapter 1, it says that Jesus was the creator. Everything that was created was through him. That includes us. And when it says that he came to his own, it was like a homecoming, in a sense, for Jesus. He's coming to his family. He's coming to be reunited with his family, and he's coming in the flesh to spend time. And can you imagine being in that position, being who Jesus was, being God, our King, being everything to us, or should be everything to us, and his own did not receive him? I can't imagine any holiday where if some family came, that we turned them away. Even people that we hadn't seen in 20 years. Even people that maybe we don't even all quite remember who they are, but we recognize the family name. They're welcome to come in and eat dinner with us. They're welcome to talk and share stories. They're welcome to be part of the family. But when Jesus came to his own, he was met with people that were too busy. He was met with people who had forgotten. He was met with people who didn't know who he was. And it says, verse 11, he came to his own did not receive him. That word for receive is the equivalent of turned away. We did the story last week. Sorry, there's no room. Sorry, there's no room. There's no room. Finally, someone says, well, you know what? I don't really have any room, but I got a barn back here. And you can come in and you'll at least be warm. The king of the universe. And that's how he was received. But that didn't stop Jesus. Because Jesus loves his own, even if they don't receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John's talking about Jesus, who was not even received by his own, yet to his own he still opened the door. To his own he still made the invitation, be part of my family. To his own he says, come into my kingdom. You didn't receive me, but I'm going to receive you. To his own he invited to be part of him. Jesus talks about, well, John talks about, he writes it here, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. There's something that describes, John describes it in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to visit with Jesus, and talks about being born. And I think that's what he's expounding on, is not being born of man, not being born of flesh, the will of flesh, or the will of man, but being born of God. And he says it here in John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 3. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, there's something different about this birth that Jesus is talking about. And he mentions being born of water and being born of Spirit. You know, when we're born of the flesh, that's how we come into this world. But there's something different. There's a different experience of this birth, this rebirth that Jesus is talking about. And it has nothing to do with the standard of being born. But then again, maybe it does have something to do with that. Because Jesus came down and was born. He was born just like any of us. He left his kingdom to be born into the kingdom of man. He came down and was changed. He was different in the sense that he is also human. He is fully God. He is fully human at this point. Something changed in him when he was born. And I believe there's an illustration there for us that Jesus, the King of Kings, the King of Heaven, came down and was born into the kingdom of man. And he was born into the kingdom of man for a reason. And that's to give us the right to be born into the kingdom of God. Jesus was born into the kingdom of man so that we could be born into the kingdom of God. Being born again doesn't change your ethnicity. It doesn't change your skin color. It doesn't change your native language. It doesn't change anything about you except your heart. When you are born again, there's a change that happens in your heart. You see, your heart is where your nationality, your spiritual nationality is. Your heart, that's what counts. That's what matters in God's kingdom, because there's only two places that you can belong to. You can either belong to this world or you can belong to God's kingdom. It's one of the two. We're born into the kingdom of man. But we have the opportunity because Jesus came down, as it says in John 1 verse 12, that all who receive him have the right to become children of God. We have the right to be born again. Next week, we've got people, at least three, and I'm waiting on a couple other confirmations, who are going to be baptized. They're going to be born of water. But being born of water doesn't change a whole lot either. It signifies that there's been a change in their heart. It's an illustration that they've been born again into the kingdom of God. It symbolizes that they've made a choice, that they've seen the kingdom of this world, and they say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be part of his kingdom. I want to be born again. I want my heart to be like Jesus' heart. I want that change in my heart. And that's what these baptisms in water are all about, is it's just something that illustrates what God has done in their hearts. It just illustrates that they are sojourners here on earth, but their permanent residence is with Christ. Jesus was born into our world, into our kingdom, the kingdom of man, so that we could be born into the kingdom of God. See, Jesus does this because Jesus is a family man. He came down and he wasn't received by his family, but he's opening the door so that he can receive his family. We may not receive him, but he receives us. And when Jesus comes, we're going to have a special celebration. There's going to be joy in the hearts of the kingdom of God. There's going to be joy unlike we've ever experienced. The joy that we see at Christmas time, celebrating the birth of Jesus, seeing the lights, opening presents, experiencing the food, visiting with family, all these joys that we experience are going to be multiplied when Jesus comes the second time, because we're going to experience a reunion at his house. I don't know if there's going to be Christmas cookies there, but there will be food, and there will be joy. Now, Seth's favorite for Christmas, as you may have heard, and by no surprise, is opening presents. And that's not a bad thing. Ephesians 2, verse 8, talks about the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind. Ephesians 2, verse 8. We've been studying Ephesians, and you would think my Bible would be trained to that one by now. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, by grace, we have salvation. Because of God's love, because Jesus came down and was born, he was able to go to the cross. and die so that we can live. There is no greater gift to humankind than to have the salvation provided by Jesus Christ, because that salvation takes us out of the dark world that we live in. It puts our name on the residence, on the door plate of heaven. We're on the list of people who are able to park in the garage and go inside. We are of the people who get to celebrate for eternity a relationship with Jesus Christ. We get to be part of his family. Think about that. What greater gift? Every Christmas I remember as a kid, I remember waking up with the excitement of opening gifts, of spending the day with family, of something special that was happening. Imagine waking up the first morning in heaven. Praise the Lord. There is no greater gift. And that gift gives every morning. I believe that we're going to have the same joy every morning that we wake up and we realize that we no longer are in this world, but that we are forever in his world. And we never have to come back to this ever again. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you. I can't describe it because I've not experienced it yet. But I'm looking forward to the day when I can put it into words adequately. The greatest gift, Jesus Christ. And it's the greatest gift because it's the most expensive gift. It cost the life of God for us to receive it. But when we open that gift, we can open that gift here and then experience it for eternity. Last night, my family and I experienced something that we have never, ever experienced before. Got you on the edge of your seats? Good, because we were on the edge of our seats last night. As sundown came, my wife told me about it a few days ago, and I was kind of like, that sounds interesting, that's good. Well, then they put out, well, let me tell you what it was. In our HOA area, our little square of Mesa, somebody arranged for a parade for our neighborhood. And I thought, man, I have never lived in a place where the neighborhood had a parade. We always had to get up and go into town and you know, wear our jackets and whatnot and stand there in the cold and wait. We can just look out our window and see a parade come right, because we looked at the map. It's going right in front of our house. And we were excited and we're waiting. We're rushing around trying to get, you know, everything, supper eaten and all that, so we can go and just enjoy this parade. And the time it said was supposed to start at 6:30. And so we're ready by 6:25. And I'm running out the windows, and we got a phone call, and it was an important phone call. Don't get me wrong. I don't regret the phone call. But I'm also, like, you know, taking the phone. We're on speakerphone, and I'm taking the phone, and I'm going and looking out the window. Nope, not yet. And 6:40 came. Not yet. 6:45. 6:50. 7 o'clock. By this time, I'm like, they're not coming. But then I got the idea. I said, Seth, you come with me. We're going to go walking down the path that they're supposed to be coming up, and we're going to see if we see them coming, you know, so we can be ready. And so we started out, and we get to the very next door, the very next neighbor, and he's outside. I'm like, hey, neighbor, and, you know, starting to walk by, and then I hear him. He's walking out. So we stand there, and we start talking, and as we're talking, I'm explaining this parade that's supposed to come by the house, and I'm all excited about it, and he's like, oh, yeah, I remember something about that. I'm like, but it's right in front of our house. It's a parade. It's going to be wonderful. And he starts describing everything that happens with it, you know, in this way that was pretty nonchalant. And we stood out there and talked for 5 or 10 minutes. I keep looking. I'm like, you know, we got to go. We got to find this parade. Where's the parade? You know, and he finally goes inside, and then we've decided, well, it's long enough. It's 7:15. They're probably not coming. Something happened. It got canceled, or we got the wrong night, whatever it was. And so we go inside. And Seth and my wife went outside, and at 7:30, Seth comes running in the house. They're here. They're here. So I'm like, I'm in the middle of something that I can't put down. Finally, I come outside, and you could hear them. They weren't there yet, but you could hear them. You hear the motors, and they're coming down the street, the next street over. I'm like, all right, they're finally here. And so we get excited, and Seth has his little lawn chair. He puts it up in the back of my pickup truck so he can climb up and sit up and see everything. And my wife's got the video out. She's got the camera going, and she's videoing this parade as it comes by. And as I stand there, I'm like, so this is a parade in Mesa, Arizona. Now, some of you guys are chuckling. I think you know the parade I'm talking about. You've seen something similar. They call them side-by-sides here. Where I come from, they call them all-terrain vehicles. So when I'm seeing side-by-sides, I have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm expecting a parade with grand, you know, and Seth, too, he was expecting drums and horns and music and everything. But it's just people in their side-by-sides that drive by. And but, you know, at the same time as they're driving by, they're all decorated in Christmas lights and inflatables, and they're pulling trailers. And I was like, well, I started getting a little excited. This is kind of cool. You know, I kind of like this experience. And then what really got me was everybody was smiling as they're driving by. And I'm like, man, a smile, that always makes my day better. And so people just driving by smiling was enough for me. And here they come, they're driving by. And then the kids, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And next thing I know, I'm shaking my hand the whole time. I don't even have time to put my hand down. I'm just waving. And what I realized was I had this joy in my heart. No, it wasn't anything grand or anything. You know, I wouldn't have paid money to go see this. I probably would not have left my yard to go see this. But the joy that they had as they came by and shared joy with me grew the joy in my heart, and seeing my son enjoying and my wife enjoying. And next thing I know, I'm really enjoying, and I'm feeling this joy. And it lasted maybe 2 minutes and it was done. And so we're going back inside. And as we're going inside, my wife said, there's nobody else outside. Nobody even bothered to come out and see the parade except for us. And I looked, and she was right. There was nobody else on that block. And I thought, how could they be so happy at one family? And then I realized, you know what? Somebody came out, so they gave us all the joy to our house. We received all the joy that they had because we were the only ones there to receive it. You know, Jesus is coming again. Jesus came one time before. He was here. He was born. He was laid in a manger. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He grew up into a man. He died on a cross and was resurrected again to give us the opportunity to be there for the second time he comes. Because the second time he comes, where are you going to be? Are you going to be inside, too busy, got things to do, not really concerned that the joy of the world is coming again? Are you going to be standing there ready and waiting for when he comes? Are you going to be standing there waiting with joy in your heart, seeing him coming down in the clouds with the rest of the angelic host? Looking forward to that first dinner when we meet in heaven at his house. See, we have a choice. The joy of the world is coming again. We can either ignore it, choose not to come out and receive him, or we can receive him today and be waiting for when Jesus comes again. And I promise you, if you're in that group, you will receive joy in your heart for eternity. And so I want to encourage you today. I just want to put this out there. I know people have made the choice and they're getting baptized next week. But I also know that there's people who maybe have not done that yet. They've not had that rebirth that Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago. They haven't opened up the door to receiving the joy for eternity. And I just want to open up that door for you today. If you're somebody that has not experienced that, but you want that joy for eternity, and maybe you made the decision before. You know what? If you want that joy, would you stand with me as we pray? If you want the joy of Jesus in your heart for eternity, would you please stand with me as we pray? And if you're one that is saying, I also want to be baptized, would you see me after church? Because I want to tell you about that joy. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you for joy. We thank you that you sent the joy of the world to the earth, that you sent angels to give us that message of joy, and that one day there is going to be joy again. Joy for eternity like we have never experienced before, but we will get to experience every day for the rest of our lives. Lord, there is a group of people right here that wants that joy. And we pray, Lord, that as you deliver that into our hearts, that we will carry that message, that good tidings and great joy to the people of Mesa, so that they too have the opportunity to receive your joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.